amen. Amen. Church, say amen again.
Amen.
Isn't it good to know that Jesus is coming soon? I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the arrival. Not saying that I'm ready to die, but I'm sure I'll be ready if he come get me. Yeah. I'm excited about it. It's good to have you all back this afternoon to really engage in a little deeper study into the life of Jacob. This passage of scripture has so much in it. And so I'm going to do my best to give you another installment, but realize that I have not exhausted all that is in the passage. But I want to give you just a little bit more information and help you just a little bit more. If you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis, the 33rd chapter. And we'll start at verse 1. And it says, "Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two handmaidens. He put the maids with their children in the front, then Leah with her children and Rachel, and Joseph last of all. He himself went ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, 'Who are these with you?' Jacob said, 'The children who God has graciously given your servant.'" Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
All right, from this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up the title, "The Night Before the Curse Was Broken." The night before the curse was broken. Now, I know you're saying, wait a minute, we didn't read much about the night before, but we're going to go back to that in just a second. But first, I want to highlight and show you some things in verses 1 through 5 that are quite different than Jacob's perception. And we also see something a little bit different in Jacob's character. All right? Now, we started off this, or ended our study this morning, talking about how Jacob divided up his family. Y'all remember? All right. Y'all say amen, and we're going to get out of here. All right. So y'all do it all the time. Just keep saying that. But he divided up his children, and we talked about the impact, and we believe the fact that he put Joseph last, what it showed to the rest of his family. And we see that later on in the book of Genesis, Joseph had quite a bit of trouble with his brothers. And part of the reason, or the main reason, why Joseph had the trouble with his brothers is because they were envious, or they were jealous of him, based on the way that Jacob treated them. Y'all remember all of that, right? So we get in there, and then we look at, let's pick up right there where he says in verse 2, he said he put the maids with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and then Rachel and Joseph last of all. But watch this. Verse 3 said, "But he himself went ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother." Now, we see that Jacob made a decision out of fear by lining his children up, leaving Joseph last. But then we see he does something that is a little bit out of character the way that he has been dealing in the previous chapter. Even though he lined up his whole family, the Bible says that he went ahead of them. Y'all follow that?
Yeah.
Meaning that he lined everybody up, and in that line, he did very much say, if something happens to me, this is the way in which these my children or my people are going to die. Right. But the thing that's different than what we've seen from Jacob before is that in this time, after he lined everybody up, he went ahead. Right. Now, the question I ask myself is, what happened to Jacob that made him be able to not only deal with his fear, but then not only just deal with it, but then confront his fear by going in front of his family? Y'all follow me?
Yes.
See, and the reason why I know that that's different, because if we look at chapters 20, 31 and 32, in previous occasions, Jacob always sent somebody else first. Y'all read that, right? But here. He's preparing to see Esau. But at this final time, he has decided, I am going to go before my family. Right. Now watch this. The funny thing about this is that Jacob spent all this time worried about Esau, worried about what Esau had been doing over the last 20 years, right? And then they meet. And Esau don't want no smoke at all. Esau don't want to fight. He just happy to see his brother. That's a whole nother story, and we got to get to that. Because that's a whole nother sermon. Brother Jones told me today after church that he has a sermon, and I got to hear him preach it called What He Saw When He Saw Esau. and I believe he will address that perception of what took place there. But one thing that's clear is a lot of times the things that we are so afraid of don't even come to fruition. See, I believe that when God told Jacob that he was going to take care of him, he already knew Esau didn't want to fight. Jacob was worried. But that's not tonight's lesson. I got to get to tonight's lesson. But it says that Jacob went in front of his family. That's a characteristic. That's an action that we have not seen Jacob do before. So the question is, what happened between when Jacob began to start sending all of his cattle to Esau, and when he met him and led his family, what happened between one point and the other point that helped Jacob be able to step out on faith and walk in front and meet his brother? I think the best way we can look at it is the night before. Turn your Bibles up to chapter 32, and I want you to begin to look at verses 22. Now, we read all the way up into 21 this morning. And then we skip 21 to the end of the chapter and went to 33. Now we're going to go back and look at chapter 32 and see what happened. It says, the same night he got up and took his wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask me my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him, and he passed Peniel limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh meat that is on the hip socket, because it struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. Y'all read all of that? Here we go. Now, we know that Jacob, by the time we got to 33, starts to behave a little bit different. But now, the question is why? If we look in this passage, I think we find out exactly what happened to Jacob. And I believe if we watch it very closely, we will be able to find a formula that will allow us to be able to overcome our fear. Here's number one. Look at verse 22. It says, verse 23, and he said, he sent them across the stream, likewise everything he had, and Jacob was alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Yeah. The very first thing that happened to Jacob that led to his transformation in chapter 33 is that Jacob had some alone time with God. I need y'all to hear this. It's important that at some point you will have to go through the things and the obstacles that you're faced with. You're going to have to overcome those things. And you're going to have to with God.
Right.
Jacob had to be in a place where he had no other distractions, nobody else to care for at that minute. And then it says, when he was alone, a man came and wrestled with him. What does that mean? It seems as if it was that God waited till the most opportune time. He waited till Jacob was by himself, and then he came to have some conversation or to wrestle with him.
Okay.
Sometimes the reason why we're not able to overcome is because we are too afraid to be alone with God. Sometimes you just got to be alone with God. And listen, when you're going through some stuff, whether you admit it or not, you very rarely, I have never overcome something that I was going through in my life that was difficult for me to overcome without having some time with God by myself. I'm trying to help you. I have experienced some things that have broken my heart. And I have sought advice from wiser men, from men that love God. I have leaned and asked questions of my mother and my father. I have searched the word, but I was not able to find any real peace until I was able to get with God by myself. This was the start of Jacob's transformation. I remember when we had some rough stuff going on, I remember going into my room, opening up my little studio, and I started singing a song. I just started recording a song, Precious Lord, the way that it came out of my head, Precious Lord. And I sang and I sang, and now before long, I remember laying flat on my face. And it was there that God started to work with me. Jacob had to wrestle with God alone. And then the Bible says, before daybreak, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint. And then he said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let go until you bless me." The second thing is, when you are wrestling with God, it might hurt. It might hurt. But don't let go. Don't let go until you get what God has planned on you getting. Listen, Jacob is wrestling with a man with a hip out of socket. He had been disjointed. Y'all, have anybody ever heard or been had to get involved in a hip surgery? I hear it's one of the worst things. I hear it's one of the most painful things that you can have. Now imagine Jacob's hip being disjointed, being out of socket. But even though his hip is actually hurting him, he still got to hold on. And the reason why he has to hold on is because he has not gotten the blessing that he was looking for yet. When you get along with God, church, sometimes you got to wrestle and you got to just keep on holding. And you got to just keep on fighting. And you got to just keep on saying, "Lord, I know I'm hurting. I know my spirit is weak. I know I'm going through some stuff. I know all these things are happening to me, Lord. But right now, I refuse to let go until you bless me." But look at this. The question I ask myself is, well, what did God bless Jacob with? He didn't bless him with anything that he had not already blessed Jacob with. He had already promised what he was going to give Jacob in chapter 28. The wrestling with God was not to receive new blessings. It was a sign showing that Jacob was now ready to receive the blessing. See, when he got through holding on to God, God didn't say, "Okay, now I'm going to give you something else." He had already told Jacob everything he was going to give him. But now this is when Jacob has his transformation, and this is need y'all to walk with me. I'm almost through. And then so he says, Lord, just let me I won't let go until you bless me. Now then watch this. Now this is the point of reckoning for Jacob. And then he said to him, what is your name? What God is asking Jacob. Anybody know what Jacob's name means? Jacob's name means deceiver, trickster. God is asking Jacob, what is your name? The question really is, who are you? You get this, you're going to get it. Jacob had to confess that he was a trickster.
Okay.
Jacob had to say, I am Jacob. I am the one who has been deceiving. I am the trickster. Y'all hear me? If Jacob had not acknowledged his own issue, then he would have never been able to receive his new name.
Right.
See, once Jacob said, I am Jacob, I am the trickster, then God said, no, you're no longer Jacob. You are Israel, for you have prevailed. You have wrestled and prevailed against God. And what he's saying to him is that now you're ready. Now you're admitting who you are. And once you admit who you are, I can make you be something else. For the last 20 years, Jacob been running in fear. Jacob been doing everything he can. He had trouble with Laban. He couldn't get his wife together. They ran off in the nighttime. All of those things, Jacob has had the same characteristics ever since he stole from Esau. Y'all, I'm crazy. Go back and read further on. When Laban came looking for Jacob, he was upset. He said, why did you leave me? Why did you sneak off and leave? Why didn't you let me say bye to my children? Why didn't you not let me say bye to my grandchildren? And Jacob said, I was afraid. Jacob had been the same Jacob for the last 20 years. And in verse 23? Verse 28? He said 27? He is acknowledging who he is. And once he acknowledges who he is, God changes his name. Y'all missing it. When you wrestle with God, a few things, let me repeat. The first thing is you got to get along with God. The second thing is that when you wrestle with God, sometimes you just got to hold on until God blesses you. But when you wrestle, you also have to acknowledge that sometimes you're the problem. And when you acknowledge, after he acknowledged that he was Jacob, then, hold on, then he received his blessing. Y'all see that? It didn't happen first. He didn't receive his blessing until he acknowledged who he was and what he had been doing. All right, and then he says, and then so you, I will call you Israel because you have striven with God and with humans. And then it says, and then he was blessed. And Jacob said, this is how you know it was God. People always say, why? How you know it was God? Because Jacob named the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. If you want to overcome your fear that's destroying your spirituality, that's destroying your money, that's destroying your family, that's destroying your, that's just stressing you out, if you want to overcome those things, you better get some time with God alone. Wrestle with him, but don't let go. And be honest if you're the issue. And once you confess the things that you struggle with and the things that will cause you to get, then God can give you your blessings. He can make you into a new person. He can give you a new name.
Amen.
When God did that for Jacob, it changed his life moving forward. He still, now watch this, when you go to 33, he still is struggling a little bit. That's the reason why he lines his kids up the way he does. He still ain't 100% ready, but he's better than he was. But you're gonna be better than when you were, than you were. But don't be discouraged if you got some bruises.
Amen.
The Bible said to Jacob that God struck his hip. And Jacob left a new man. He left with a new lane, with a new name. But he left limping. He's still alive, but he limping. And he limping because of the things that he put himself through. So I don't want you to say, well, Brother Mason, I had my time with the Lord, I hear God, and I'm still struggling with all that, still consequences for the things that you do.
Amen.
But that don't mean you can't get better.
Right.
And then he walks up to his brother Esau, bows down seven times. Esau is so excited to see him.
Yes,
he hugs him, kisses him by the neck, and welcomes him in. They say, who are all these people? He said, this is my family. Y'all see that?
Yes,
all the things Jacob was worried about didn't matter. All the fear that he had didn't even need to be there.
Amen.
But he wasn't able to overcome his fear until he first had to deal with himself.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how the gospel story works. You were messing up. You didn't been afraid to get close to God. You've been afraid that you're gonna lose your life. You've been afraid that God's gonna punish you. You're gonna be afraid of all these things. And what happens is when you hear the gospel and you come down to God, no matter what all the things you're going through, you might come and get lifted because you didn't have some rough nights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when God sees you, he's just like Esau. He don't want to fight. He wants to welcome you in.
Amen.
He wants to kiss you. He wants to allow you to be a part of your family. He wants to allow you to be a part of his family.
Right.
What am I trying to tell y'all is that the night before the curse was proclaimed is where all the victory happened. Here's the last point. You will never overcome the things in the light until you fight with the things in the night. The thing that you wrestle with at nighttime is the reason why you got rough days. And still you fight and win the battle that happens at night, you will never be able to truly enjoy the light. You might want to